Sherry and Shalom Hammer are dedicating the shiur this morning in memory of Sherry's father, Rav Baruch Meir ben Harav Ezra Halevi, Mr. Bernard Suss. I have fond memories of going to visit Sherry at the Shiva and having opportunities to learn about her father, and all I can say is whoever had a hand in bringing Sherry Hammer into this world and a hand in all the chesed that she does should be blessed, and will have a very special Gan Eden for everything that he did. So, Emir Hashem, he should have an Aliyas HaNeshama from our learning this morning. We're sorry that she's not here, but she's in a better place in Eretz Yisrael, where we all hope and wish and pray to be. So let us get into our shiur this morning. Yerushalayim is something that is constantly on our minds. We daven consistently for our return to Yerushalayim. We yearn for the opportunity to be living in Yerushalayim and to be experiencing it once again in all its glory. Chav Ches Iyar, which is coming up this week before our next year, is a day which should give us an extra reason to think about Yerushalayim as we recount the unbelievable miracles in 1967 that really took not only the Jewish people but the entire world by surprise. This was a nes nigla, this was an absolute miracle at a time when, if you read anything about history and what everyone was saying at the time, it seemed that there was a very likely possibility that the Jews were once again going to go through another Holocaust in 1967. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this unbelievable miracle. At the same time that we celebrate and we think about the gift of Yerushalayim, we are pained that unfortunately Yerushalayim has once again become a major flashpoint, a major point of international conflict, and everyone's fighting once again about who has rights to Yerushalayim and who's allowed to pray on the Har HaBayis and who's allowed to visit and who has jurisdiction. So let's dedicate this morning's shiur to Yerushalayim, because I think it's important for us to give pause and think about Yerushalayim and what it means for all of us today. So, as we mentioned, Yerushalayim is very much at the forefront of our minds all the time. The last three Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, were the last three of the Nevi'im that ever lived. And they came up with the Jewish people from Galus Bavel. They were actually the ones who were the most outstanding and distinguished leaders of the time. And they were the ones who galvanized the people to come back to rebuild a Beis HaMikdash. They rekindled the spirit of the Jewish people who had lost so much of what religious experience was about when they were in Galus Bavel for 70 years. These three Nevi'im were part of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. They were three very prominent members. And they were the ones, as we mentioned, who really encouraged people to start building the Bayis Sheni. Their passing, when Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi passed away, it left such a void, such an enormous vacuum in the Jewish community. As the Gemara tells us, from the time that Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi passed away, Pasca Ruach HaKodesh miYisrael. There was no longer the opportunity to experience Ruach HaKodesh in the Jewish community. And that was a major shift. That's a major inflection point, because imagine living at a time when you have the gift of Ruach HaKodesh, when you have people you can turn to who can just have divine insight into everything, answer all the questions, give direction based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs them. And when that gift was lost, when that opportunity was lost, it was a major, major void in the Jewish community. So Chagai HaNavi stands by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and he almost admonishes the Jewish people. And I often think about this pasuk because I think almost in America, this is so relevant to all of us living here in very comfortable communities. And we have very comfortable experiences here. And we have all the religious freedoms that we can ever want, or mostly. And life is pretty good, or life is extremely good. And we're very successful as a community and as individuals and as families. So you look at this pasuk in the Navi Chagai, number Aleph, and he says, Ha'es lachem atem, lasheves bebateichem spunim, v'habayis hazeh charev. Does it make sense, says the Navi Zechariah, that we live in our settled and established and comfortable communities, v'habayis hazeh charev, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home is in disarray, it's been demolished, it's been destroyed? And I think about that often when you see on the news what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, when you see riots on Har HaBayis, when you see they have to clear out the old city because people are throwing stones and you can't even take a bus, when you see that there are terrorists who are stabbing people on the streets of Yerushalayim, you ask yourself that same question. Ha'eis lachem atem lasheves bivateichem svunim. Does it make sense that here we are sitting in our own homes in the United States, settled and established and comfortable and going about our routine and doing what we want, and there's so much destruction going on around us and we're not even paying attention. And it's something that we need to give pause to. It's something we need to think about. Which is why he follows it up by saying, this is an opportunity, writes the Navi, to give some mindfulness, to give some thought to what it is that's happening around us. He says it over and over again, that we have opportunities to make a difference in the world. We have opportunities to make situations better. We have opportunities to pay attention and to try to invest of ourselves, not only with our money, that's one aspect, but to invest of ourselves to make a devastating situation just a little bit better. And to sit back in our own homes and make it as if there's nothing going on around us when there's a calamity happening in the world, so the Navi says would be something that is unacceptable. The Navi Zechariah then follows up his colleague, Haggai, and the Navi Zechariah also describes what's going to be in the days of Achris Hayamim. And to me, although this is a very famous pasuk, it's a very unusual one. It's hard to really appreciate. We'll see in a minute why. Ko Amar Hashem, Zechariah tells us in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shavti El Siyom. Do not be afraid, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. I assure you that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will come back to Eretz Yisrael. I'll come back to Yerushalayim. V'shachanti B'soch Yerushalayim. We will once again have that opportunity, that experience, to be together in Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. V'nikra Yerushalayim Ir Ha'emes. Interesting. Of all different titles that I could have given Yerushalayim, I don't think I would have chosen that Yerushalayim would be referred to as the Ir Ha'emes. It's interesting that that is the way that the Navi refers to Yerushalayim in its optimal sense. When we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu back, it's not going to be a city that's going to be run by politicians. It's not going to be a city that's going to be run, you know, my father always says from Rav Soloveitchik, they once asked him, why is it that there's no Hebrew word for politics? Now, of course, in modern Hebrew, it's called politika, but that's not a Hebrew word. So why is it that there's no Hebrew word for politics? Rav Soloveitchik said, there is, sheker. So they asked him, so why don't we at least refer to it as such? He said, because that would be the only honest thing about politics. So we refer to the city of Yerushalayim as Ir Ha'emes, because it's going to be a city that will be run based on divine principles, based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, based on what the leaders of the community say, not by political figures who may have their own agendas. V'har Hashem Tzivakos Har HaKodesh. And now the Ribbono Shel Olam says the following, Ko Amar Hashem, what is it, after all these generations, after all the millennia of Galus, what is it that you have to look forward to when we once again are reunited in Yerushalayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen to this. Od Yeshu Uzakenim Uzakenos Berachovos Yerushalayim. There will come a time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, when we will have the elders sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. V'ish Mishanto B'yado Meirov Yamim. And you're going to have elderly people walking with their sticks. Urachovos Ha'ir Yimalu. And the city streets will be filled of young children, Yiladim v'yiladot mesachkim berchovoseha. So this became a famous pasuk. It's a beautiful pasuk. But when you think about it, I don't know, it's a little bit uninspiring. That's not the image, it's not the vision that I had for coming back to Yerushalayim. I thought that there would be something that would be far more impressive and far more exciting than having elderly people walking the streets and young children playing in the playgrounds. That's not so exciting. Somebody would come to you and say, you know, we really need to build Yerushalayim. I'd like you to dedicate a swing set to the park in the middle of Yerushalayim. It's a nice thing to do. And of course, the children in Yerushalayim should be entitled to play on the swings, just like our children here. But you would probably be more reluctant to give money for the swing set. I know we just dedicated a park in the backyard. It's lovely. And it's great. I'm not saying there's no need. But if somebody were to come to you and you had $1,000 to give to tzedakah, and you decided that you wanted to give it toward the cause of building Yerushalayim because that's important to you, and it should be important to all of us. So you have two options. You can either buy up a terrorist home in the Muslim quarter of the old city. That money could go toward that. Or it can go toward building a swing set for the kids in Yerushalayim who just need a place to play. I would say, this is just not that exciting. It's not so exciting. When you see elderly people walking the streets of Yerushalayim, it's just another routine, ordinary, mundane day in Yerushalayim. It's not that impressive. So what is it about this vision that is so exhilarating, that is so exciting? Why is it that the Navi feels he needs to share this with us? And I think what we've come to learn over the years is that yes, having children be able to play in their backyards without having to look over their shoulder that maybe a terrorist is going to come murder them, walking down the streets of Yerushalayim and not being afraid, is in fact an overwhelming gift that we do not take for granted. Yes, the Navi says, learn to appreciate the fact that that too is a gift. That is not a given, where you have millions of Arabs living all around you who hate you more than they love their own children, who hate you more than they love their own lives. Yes, it's a gift, and that is something that is shocking to be a part of that reality, that you can walk the streets of Yerushalayim and not be afraid, that you can have your children go out to play and not be afraid that they'll never come home because maybe they'll be captured and they will be tortured. Yes, that is an overwhelming gift, and it's something for us to appreciate, that we live at a time, although sometimes there is fear and there is terror, you go to the streets of Yerushalayim and you see that people are walking freely and they are not afraid. And you see that life goes on, and you see that there are buses running, and you see that there are trains that are picking people up, and you see that there are cars driving all over the place. And unfortunately, sometimes we have very, very horrific images that are coming out of Yerushalayim when something goes wrong. But for the most part, this nevuah is something that we are seeing. It's something that we are experiencing. And can there be a greater belief in the Ribono Shel Olam than this? Thousands of years ago, this is what the Nevi'im told us would happen. And if you look through the Sifrei HaNevi'im, you see that all of those prophecies are coming true, exactly the way they are being described. And this is really a gift that we should not take for granted. It's a gift that we should really take some time to appreciate what it means for all of us. The Navi Yirmiyah, when he describes what is going to be in the days of Achris HaYamim, also says the following, Ko Amar Hashem, Odi Shama B'Makom Hazeh, Ba'are Yehuda U'V'Chutzas Yerushalayim, Kol Sason V'Kol Simcha, Kol Chasan V'Kol Kala, which gives me an opportunity to wish Mazel Tov. The Kala's not here. She gets a pass this week. But Mazel Tov, a beautiful Simcha. I did petition that the next wedding we should have a sheer table. I'm just saying. Mirtz Hashem, the next one, by all of you. So really, it was a beautiful Simcha. But here, the Navi Yirmiyah is talking about, we're going to walk the streets of Yerushalayim. We're going to hear Chasan and Kala singing, dancing. Is that so exciting? The answer is yes, that is exciting. When we can come to a time when Chasan and Kala can walk the streets of Yerushalayim and not be afraid and be proud of the fact that they're celebrating a simcha and sing and dance in the streets as we hear every single day. You go to the Kotel today, you go to the Old City, and every few minutes you hear a bar mitzvah boy is coming down with a whole marching band, and you hear a Chasan and Kala coming. You watch them taking pictures before the wedding, and this is what you see. This is exactly what the Navi describes, and it is just an amazing phenomenon that we are living through this and experiencing exactly what we were promised so many generations ago. So the Navi Malachi, as we mentioned, was the last of these three, of these Nevi'im. And he's referred to by some of the Mefarshim as the Chosam HaNevi'im, as the last one. The Chosam means the stamp, the seal, the last one who ended the period of Nevuah. And he leaves very critical instructions. You see, he has a very big job. He has to somehow give faith to the Jewish people as they're going to be in Galus for the next few thousand years until they meet the next Navi. And he has instructions that he needs to leave that are going to keep the Jewish people going. So what does he say? The Navi Malachi is the last of the Treyasar. And you look here in number Dalet and you see the way that the Navi Malachi ends the Sefer is by saying the following. Very clear instructions. Zichru Taras Moshe Abdi. Asher tzivisi oso b'chorev al kol Yisrael chukim u'mishpatim. Says the Navi Malachi, you've had it easy the last many years, the last many decades, because although Moshe Rabbeinu is not alive, you had the period of Nevi'im that were almost as if they were similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had direct communication with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he has direct communication with all of the Nevi'im since. But now that you're not going to have Nevi'im anymore, what can I tell you to do? How can I hold the Jewish people together? And he says, the only instruction I can give you is, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. You have to hold on to the Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Asher Tzivisi Oso B'chorev, that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll call Yisrael Chukim U'Mishpatim. And now, he says, I obviously can't just leave you with that. He leaves us something to hold on to. What does he say? Hine anochi shaleach lachem es Eliyah hanavi. You'll notice here that Eliyah is not spelled Eliyahu. That's a whole discussion in Chazal why the vav is left out. Not for now, but that's something to notice. Lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanor. When you're going through the parsha in Bereishis, you'll see that sometimes the word Yaakov has an extra vav. That's part of this whole discussion here, but not for now, as we said. So he promises us, Hinei anochi shaleach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi, I'm going to send Eliyahu hanavi lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanora, which also is hard to translate exactly what it means. It seems that the coming of Mashiach will be preceded by the coming of Eliyahu hanavi a day before. So we say in our animamin every day, animamin, that we believe that Mashiach can come any day. It means we believe that Eliyahu hanavi can come the day before and Mashiach is going to come the next day. Something like that. That's what it seems to indicate here. So he tells us that we should look forward to that. We should hold on to that. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that we will have the experience of being reunited with the coming of Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach. And then he ends off as follows. V'heshiv lev avos al banim, v'lev banim al avosam. Very interesting end to a sentence that seems to have no connection at all to the previous comment that he made. We're going to have Eliyahu HaNavi will reveal himself. That will be followed by the coming of Mashiach. And we should all remember that at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring parents and children together. V'leiv banim al avosam. Is that a reference to our father and us being the children? Is that a reference that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his children will come together? Is that a reference to families coming together? Is that a reference to Tchias HaMesim, that everyone's going to be reunited? Very hard to understand exactly what this means. But this is what I'd like to focus on, because I think this is a really beautiful essay that was written at the time. In 1967, the Panavizh Rav, Rav Yosef Shlomo Kahaneman, who was one of the great leaders in post-Holocaust Jewry. I mean, there are so many stories about what he did. He basically came to Bnei Brak after the war, and he hung up a shingle, and he was determined to rebuild Torah in the world and to rebuild Jewish communities. And he was so wildly successful in doing so. And at the time, he basically went onto an empty mountain there in Bnei Brak and said that he was going to build a yeshiva. And he wrote a beautiful pasuk from the Nevi'im that talks about destruction and then rebuilding. And he said, this is going to be us. We are going to rebuild. We will not allow ourselves to be destroyed. And he spent the rest of his life valiantly fighting for that cause, successfully fighting for that cause. And he became one of the great leaders. But because of what he was building, and by the way, before he built the yeshiva, you know that he was first involved in Bnei Brak in building an old age home. You know that. And he said the reason why is because before we learn Torah, we need to take care of our people. It was just such a beautiful perspective. He made sure that there was an old age home for those who needed it, for those who needed services, for those who needed help. And he said, that is more important than my building the yeshiva, although the yeshiva is my dream, and this is the continuity of the Jewish people. I believe that we first need to make sure that we take care of all those who need our help. And that was his first priority, to build that before building the yeshiva. An amazing personality. So because of his very extensive efforts in trying to rebuild Jewish communities in Eretz Yisrael after the war, he found himself quite often traveling around the world trying to raise money for all of his various endeavors in building the Panavizh Yeshiva and the whole community in Bnei Brak, which is a flourishing hub of Jewish life today. So Rav Kahaneman in 1967 happened to have been in Chutz La'aretz. I think he was in England at the time, when the whole Six-Day War broke out. Now, he couldn't get home in time because it was only 6 days. He wasn't going to fly home the minute he heard about it. He was trying to make arrangements to go back. But he basically missed the whole thing. And he was in Chutz La'aretz, and he came back, and he almost felt uncomfortable, because here he is, the leader of all of his students, the leader of his flock. Everybody experienced something that he did not feel a part of. It was very strange. It's not FOMO. It's just, sometimes you have a shared experience that makes you have a certain united feeling. It makes you all feel very closely connected. It makes you have a perspective that you all share together. And if you're the person who's not a part of that, there's something that you're missing in the relationship. We all know that to be true in our relationships and all the things we go through. Sometimes when we go through a difficulty and there's somebody who just doesn't relate to it, it's hard to relate to that person because they just don't understand it. So he comes back from his trip to Chutz La'aretz. The war is now over. The feeling of euphoria, of celebration, can be felt all around the country, all around the Jewish community, around the world. But obviously those who were living in Eretz Yisrael at the time felt the threat in a very credible way. They felt it in a very acute way. And he was not a part of that. So he comes back and he feels he has to address the whole situation, but he doesn't know exactly what to say. Because as much as I'm excited and as much as I'm happy and as much as I'm celebrating, I'm not a part of your experience. I wasn't here. And I wasn't in the danger that you were in. So look what he writes. He wrote this in the newspaper at the time, and it was just such a beautiful, beautiful discussion that he has, and he gives us a perspective of what to think about as we celebrate what Yerushalayim means to all of us. So let's read it together. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read the beginning. Achim yikarim v'rachimaim. He calls out to his brothers and sisters. Hamuter lanu liyos kitantonayim bisha gedola v'niskava zos. Do we have the right, he says, to be so small and narrow-minded, to be so parochial in this moment, which is such a big moment for the Jewish people? When there are big things happening, he says, you can't be small. I thought about this so much during COVID. Look what's going on in the world. It's a big world out there. So much is happening. When big things are happening and the whole world is upside down, you can't remain small. You don't have the right to remain small. You have to think differently. You have to try to take yourself out of your little Dalet Amos and just look out. I felt it so much when we were just in Australia. You know, we get so caught up in our little community and the politics and the things and the fights and the issues and the whatever, and things aren't right and things are wrong, whatever. All the things that we worry about. And we have this problem and the other one, and I don't like this one or the other person. Go out there in the world and see what a big world we have. Like, it's a huge world. There's a lot to take advantage of out there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in a beautiful world. It's not as small as we think sometimes. I was standing out by the Indian Ocean, and you look at hundreds and hundreds of miles of endless ocean, and you just say to yourself, like, who can deny the existence of God when you see such a thing? Like, who could have possibly made this happen? This is so unbelievable. And you sometimes forget, living in a community like ours, that there's a big world. The world does not center around where we are. And the world does not center around my problems or my issues or my concerns. It's a big world, and we need to take advantage of it. And he says, certainly, writes Rav Kahaneman, certainly when we have big things happening in the world, we need to take ourselves out of our little Dalet Amos and just think bigger, think differently, reconsider, reevaluate how we're going to look at the perspective that's in front of us. Halo nevosh v'nikalein. Shouldn't we be ashamed? Lihisha'er b'dalus ha'hasagos. Can you continue to have such small-minded thinking? B'katnus ha'mochem b'tkufa haras plaos. When God has shown you that great things can happen and do happen in your life, how is it that you can just remain so small? You know, there was somebody recently who lost a family member here in the neighborhood. And they were talking to me about how difficult it was for them and continues to be for them. And one of the things they said is, I just can't get together with my friends anymore. And I said, you know, that's not very healthy, obviously. We were talking about it. And this person said, it's not because I don't like my friends. I love them. But they're talking about such silly things. I get together with my friends. Here I am worrying about my loss, worrying about bigger things, worrying about existential issues in my life. And here they are worrying about little things. It's just we don't have a common language anymore. They don't understand. And this woman said to me, it's almost embarrassing that when we sit together, they're not ashamed to talk about such things in front of me. Like as if this is the world's biggest problem. And it was such a lesson to me. Because that's what he writes. Shouldn't we be embarrassed when the world has such big things going on? And this is what you're talking about. You ever go to a shiva house, a tragic shiva house, and somebody just says such an inappropriate comment yes, we've all heard that, but an inappropriate comment that shows you just don't get it. You just don't get what it is that we're doing here, why it is that we're here. You really don't understand what happened. You don't appreciate what it is that the family is experiencing or what it is that the community is going through. You just don't get it. And that's okay, but then just keep quiet. But people don't understand how embarrassing it is for themselves when they react like that. And that's what the Panav Yisroel writes. There are times in our lives when we need to step away, when we need to step out of the mundane, step out of what it is that we see and deal with on a daily basis, and think differently, and react and respond differently. Kishanu mukafim mamish benisim. When we see all around us that there are such great miracles, mukafim means we are enveloped by miracles. Even someone who's blind is able to see everything that's happening. You can't deny the reality of what it is that we're experiencing. Kaimalang, he says, we have a principle in the Gemara, second paragraph, ki ein bal hanes margish beniso. Sometimes a person who's living through a miracle cannot fully appreciate the miracle as it's being experienced, as it's unfolding, because you're in it, and you're not looking from an outsider's perspective. Sometimes it takes an outsider to point it out to you. Do you see what this is? Do you understand? It's really what the Chumash tells us when Yisro came along, and he, as an outsider, tells the Jewish people, do you see what you've been through? Do you see what a miracle you are? It's only then that they opened their eyes and said, wow, look what we've been through. That's what's described in Chumash, because sometimes it takes the outsider to be able to make us appreciate the blessings that we have. And he writes, Ein bal hanes margish beniso. Sometimes the person who's experiencing the miracle, him or herself, doesn't have the ability to see what it is that went into this great moment, what it is that went into this great miracle. I think about it all the time. You have a young couple gets engaged, and they're all excited, and they're on their own little cloud, and it's really nice, and it's very sweet, and sometimes it's nauseating, right, for all of us around them. But it's very, very nice. And Mirtzah Hashem, we should have many, many more that we're able to celebrate. Actually, I'm happy to say that last night we had a shidduch. They got engaged from this shul. Actually, not from this shul. He is not from here. She is not from here. But it's because of the the event that we made. Not we. I had nothing to do with it. The event that some very holy, righteous people in this neighborhood put together in December, where they had older singles who came together from many different communities. And Leah Fink, I think, convinced a young woman to come from Queens somewhere, and someone else convinced some young man from a totally different community that he should come. Two of them met, they started dating, and they just got engaged last night. So that is a beautiful simcha, and Amir Sashem, we should have many, many more. But sometimes, take that for example, the person doesn't even understand or appreciate how blessed they are. They don't know what went into the great miracle. Do you understand how many phone calls we had to make to get that boy here, to get that girl here, to make the weekend happen, to put everything together, to make sure they're sitting at the same table? The person themselves don't even appreciate, because they're not able to appreciate. They don't even know all the background. They don't understand it because they're involved, they're focused, they're doing their thing, and they don't have the broader perspective. And he writes that this is a universal principle. V'davar should be metziosu. We know that this is true. Second line of the second paragraph, Shezohar gadol v'atzimidai. Sometimes when you have such a bright and blinding light, misanver etayinayim, it's able to blind your eyes. Mi yaskil laharamis mabato hashamayma ulahatzitz yashar b'fnei hashemesh b'shas gvurasa. Who will go outside in the middle of the day when the sun is beating down and it is so bright and powerful? Who's going to look up at the sun with their eyes without putting on sunglasses? Who would do such a thing? You can't look. You're going to blind yourself. Hanisim v'haniflos, hatshuos v'hanachamos v'hamolchamos, shenisrachshu be'eretz hakodesh v'be'ir hakodesh v'hamigdash. These miracles that we just experienced, again, he's writing this in 1967, right after the amazing miracle of the conqueror of Yerushalayim and many other cities and communities. Af Elia Sharozos Beineim, the people who experienced it and saw it with their own eyes. Af Elia Shachazu Zos Mi Besara Mamish, these who went through it with their own bodies. Eina Matzlichem Lahabia Es Ma'amake Rikshosehem. They don't have the ability to fully appreciate what it is that they just lived through, because they were in it. V'ulai Mi Asher Kamoni. He says, but maybe me, because I was not here, because I found myself in Chutz Laaretz at the time, maybe I can be that outsider who gives you perspective. Fascinating. Maybe I can help you frame the thoughts that you're supposed to have. Nadad ba'osam hayamim apnei kibbutzei hayehudim megalius. At the time, I found myself away from my family, away from my community. I was in galus. I was trying to raise money. Mesugal yoser lachush es ta'atzumas hanisim. Maybe I can point out to you how lucky and how blessed you are to have lived through this experience, because you're too much in it. You're too personally invested. You don't see it on your own. So what does he say? Zusha gedola v'nadira. This is a miraculous time. Halashon shalanu dala umugbelas levatezos. We don't have enough words to even try to describe this. We're limited in our speech. There's nothing we can say. Even our wildest imagination that can sometimes bring us to places that are unrealistic, even that, he says, is just not big enough to ever have imagined this miracle. ha-dvarim, to really appreciate what it is, the significance and the gravity of what it is that we've just been through. Yehudim chavivim v'yikarim. Ma pesher hanisim hanarayim v'haniflayim. Let's dissect, let's try to reflect what it is that we've been through. Ma marim lanu, ma miramzim aleinu min ha-shamayim. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? Which is the question that every generation needs to ask themselves. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? Hard to answer that question. We're not Nevi'im. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from us? And he says, Dorenu Hamukah V'Hamushpal. Let's remind ourselves, 1967 was not that far after all of the refugees came from Europe. 1948, they established the State of Israel. And just 20 years later, they had this miraculous experience of capturing Yerushalayim and Hebron. And if you read the story about how Hebron was captured, I mean, the whole thing just doesn't make any sense. Anyone ever read the autobiography of Rav Shlomo Goren? An amazing personality. Quite interesting, if you are up for an interesting read. He describes actually what happened on the day when they were thinking of going into Hebron. He was the chief rabbi of Tzahal at the time. This has nothing to do with the discussion here, but it's just fascinating to read it. You can actually Google it later, and you can come up with a whole translation of his account of how Hebron was captured. It's amazing. He writes a story, if I'm not mistaken, that he felt so much pride that the Israeli army was about to make a surprise attack on Hebron and try to wage war to get jurisdiction over the city. He told the officer who was in charge, the commander who was in charge of the whole unit that was about to go in, "I'm going to sleep for the night." He was obviously sleeping on the base. "Don't you dare go into Hebron without me. Don't you dare go into Hebron without me. The minute the army is ready to go, you better wake me up, because I'm going to be the first one in Maris HaMachpelah." And he admits that it was his own arrogance, that he just felt he wanted to be there at the moment when they would capture Yerusha, when they would capture Hebron. Anyway, he wakes up in the middle of the night. He hears that it's dead silent in the whole camp, in the whole army base. And he's sure that they were sticking it to him, that they went ahead with the plan in the middle of the night, as they often do, without calling him, without waking him. He was furious. He wakes up his driver. He says, "That's it, we're catching up." Didn't bother to radio to anyone. Didn't bother to reach out and find out what was happening. The truth is, what was really happening was they all left to have a meeting to discuss the exact tactics and the plans of how they were going to go into the city of Yerushalayim, of Hebron, and take it over. But he misunderstood. He thought they all charged ahead. He asked his driver to drive him into Hebron. He went by himself with his driver and his gun, drove through the streets of Hebron. The Arabs were so terrified because they assumed that this was a surprise attack and they were going to be shot from all around. Why is one Israeli jeep driving through the cities of Hebron himself? He drove through everywhere. He describes there how he stops a young Arab teenager on the street and he asks him, "Eifo ma'arat ha-machpelah?" And he said, the guy puts up his hands, he's terrified, and he gets into the jeep and drives with them to show them exactly where Ma'aris HaMachpelah is. The driver just keeps going. He was sure he's going to get there and he's going to meet up with all the soldiers. Meanwhile, he hasn't bumped into a single one. He gets to Ma'aris HaMachpelah, the doors are locked. He starts pounding on the door. The mufti comes out, puts his hands up. Rav Goren shoots through the door, holds up a gun to him and says, "Get out, this is ours, give me the keys." And that is how Ma'aris HaMachpelah and Hebron were captured. One person. Have you ever heard something so crazy in your life? It's insane. It's worth reading on your own, the description in his own words. It's absolutely amazing. He radios back to the army and he says, "Where are you? I'm here." They said, "Where are you?" He says, "I'm in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah." They say, "You're in Ma'aris HaMachpelah. How are you there?" He says, "Well, we captured Hebron. I just hung up a flag. We are here. This is ours." And the army came to meet him. They took over the city of Hebron. That is the story. It's an amazing story. Rav Goren became famous for the one blowing the shofar at the Kotel when they were able to take over the old city. But I think he's pretty famous for this as well. That's a pretty amazing part of history that many people don't talk about. Again, I would advise you to try to Google it later. You can find it. It's an amazing read. It's in English and in Hebrew. Just Google that piece about how Rav Goren captured Hebron. It's absolutely incredible. Anyway, be it as it may, he says, here we are, Dorenu Hamukava Hamushpal, the last paragraph on the first column here. We are a community, we are a generation that has been smitten, has been destroyed. Dar Nisyonos V'Yisurim, there has never been a generation that has been through as much pain as we have. Re'e Adko Hakol B'chinas Hester Panim, until now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hidden His face. We don't see the Ribono Shel'Olam in our lives. We did not feel Him in the camps in Auschwitz. We did not understand where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have possibly been when so many Jews are being mercilessly destroyed and murdered. Ve'anochi haster aster aspane bayomahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes in the Torah that there will come a generation where He will hide His face. And He says that is certainly the time that we are living through. Mashma hester sheba hester. Hare gam hatzionahu. Pirusho nister. And yet, that very same generation, many of them are still alive at this time. They are able to experience this absolute hidden face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the one hand, and just a few years later to experience this overwhelmingly open experience of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's helping hand. Maze omer lanu. What does this tell us? My kamash malan, what do we walk away with? Havav and Isbonin Achim Rachmaim, he says, my brothers, Hare lo yitachen hasbar acher. There is no other way to explain this, Ela Shazohi Hachana Gedola Me'ein Chazara Klalis Likras HaGalula Ashlema. There's no way to understand this other than the fact that this is obviously the beginning of our Geula. There's no other way to see it. What else can this mean? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us this opportunity to see all of this with our own eyes, to experience it after all that we've been through? Obviously, this is setting the stage, he writes, for the Geula. Second column. Zemechazdei Hashem Yisbarach Shenoslan Lanu Lahargish Vilito Matamim Shel Hatshuas Hagedolos. It is a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to experience this. Hatzfuyas V'Hamazumanos Lanu Mipnei She'ein B'nei Dar Miskein V'Umlal Shavur V'Ratzutz Ma'odedim Osanu L'Kras Shas Hageula V'Im Kein. And therefore, he says, Achim Ikarim, my dear brothers and sisters, Hava V'Niskonein L'Kras Hageula Hashlema. Let us ready ourselves for a Geula. There's no other way to see this. This is the redemption. So let's be ready. And what does it mean to be ready? Uvame nuchal lehitkonein. So there's no instruction guidebook that tells you when you're on the cusp of a redemption, this is what you should do. So the Panovich Rav says, I believe this is the beginning of a geula. But now the difficult question is, so what am I supposed to do with that? Where does that leave me? How do I prepare myself? And he says the best way to prepare is to look back in the Nevi'im and try to understand how they inform us of that preparatory stage. Hanavi Malachi Minevi Hanachama Bahapadus Mi Mivasre Yom Hashem Hagadol Bahanora. The Navi Malachi that we just learned from is the one who told us, Lifnei Yob Ba Yom Hashem Hagadol Bahanora. You're going to have an experience that is overwhelming, that is Gadol Vinora, that is unbelievable. That Navi Hera Lanu Esnesiv Hakonanus Likras HaGeula. That same prophet, that same Navi is the one who taught us how to prepare for this stage. And how so? Hanavi Shisnabe al Nitzrius Am Haaretz, Am Yisrael. The Navi that told us about the enduring power of the Jewish people. Ki ani Hashem lo shanisi v'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chilisim. The Navi Malachi told us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that He will never destroy us. That same Navi is the one who told us about Eliyahu HaNavi, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lechem Es Eliyahu HaNavi Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VeHanora, V'Hisnavei Al Eliyahu HaMevaser V'Heishiv Leivavos Al Banim V'Leibanim Al Avosa. Zeh HaDavar Achim Yehudim Zohi HaHachana HaAmitis. This is exactly the way to prepare. HaHalemes HaShas HaHizbonimus. How do we prepare? When we have Achvas Halavavos Shal Am Yisrael Kulo, Shal Tzair V'Zakein Shal Avos Subanim. This is not a mistake that the Navi put this line here. Let's look back at what he says. Number Dalit. Let's read from the Navi Malachi again. Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, he says, remember the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not going to have Nevi'im any longer. Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah is what's going to keep you going. Then he says, you're going to have Eliyahu HaNavi Mashiach, it's going to be amazing. And how do you prepare? Says Rav Kahaneman, it's the next phrase. How do you prepare for that existence, for that experience? V'heishiv leiv avos al banim, v'leiv banim al avosam. When people will learn to be together again, when people will learn to respect each other again, when people will learn to appreciate one another, when young people and elderly will be able to be sitting together in one shul, not breaking apart, not making new communities, not fragmenting the community into many different positions and many different places, but to bring everyone together, v'heishiv leiv avos al banim, that is the way to prepare ourselves for a geula. That is why the Navi puts it in here and says, Rav Kahaneman, that is what this means. Look at the last paragraph here on this column. Kulanu nitkonen yachad b'tzav sachada. Let us try together to make that preparation possible. Kulanu niftach es halavavo zela zela. Let's open our hearts to each other. Al habanim lios harishonim. Libam shalat se'irim terem nis'avein v'nis'atein. Get the children before they become stone-hearted, before they become corrupted by the culture, before they become contaminated by all the negativity in the world. Let the children be taught that they can be positive in life, that they have the opportunity to do good things, that they have opportunities to respect others and not be as pessimistic as people out there in the world. Habanim regishim yoser likriyas harasoras v'habanim heim haponim ala avos. Be'eza adam, how do young children turn to those who are older? Derech ava v'ratzon ba'ava v'chiba, he says, this is the one thing that we have the opportunity to do to prepare for a geula. And he advises us, when there are big things happening in the world, you need to think bigger as well. You need to think outside of yourself. You need to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing something so big in our lives that it means He wants us to be big also. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed us to experience this, then it means He wants something from us. And what is it that He wants from us? Look at the Navi and how He prescribes what it is that people should be doing to prepare themselves for a Geula. In the Yerushalmi, in Maseches Yuma, the Yerushalmi tells us that the first Beis HaMikdash was Charev because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. The second Beis HaMikdash, the Yerushalmi says, Hayu Yigeim BaTorah. They were diligent, they were attentive to the Torah and the mitzvos. The Yerushalmi says, Hayu Zehirim B'mitzvos of the Maestros. They were careful with everything. They gave all their Trumas and Maestros properly. Everyone was doing exactly what they were supposed to do. But the problem was, he said, number one, they were Oavim Es Hamamon. Number one, they worshipped money, the Yerushalmi says. Sounds familiar. They worshipped money. And number two, Visonim Elu La'elu Sinas Chinam. And the Yerushalmi says, what we learn from this is that Sinas Chinam is comparable to Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. Which is a shocking statement. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim, we're told, one has to be willing to give up their lives not to violate. And here the Yerushalmi says we can equate Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim on the one hand with Sinas Chinam on the other hand. It just seems so imbalanced. We've heard so many times, yes, Sinas Chinam destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It's very something that is a common refrain. But think about it from that perspective, that the Yerushalmi says they can be equated, they can be considered comparable, because in some way they are equally as bad and equally as destructive. The Chafetz Chaim, as we mentioned last week, has so many beautiful writings, really a treasure trove of Svarim and Kuntresim and things that he wrote. And he writes the following here, if you look at the second side of the page. He has a Kuntres that's called Kuntres Avas Yisrael. I'm sure none of you have ever read it or seen it, but maybe you should. It's not so long. It's really beautiful. I took out some of the highlights here. But he writes in the following, in the second chapter, Hine ana mispalalim mitfilasenu bakashasenu ubifrat mitfilas hamusafin lebinyan Beis HaMikdash. We daven every day for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and especially, he says, in Musaf, where we say explicitly that we want the opportunity to bring Karbonos once again. And this is something that we so much anticipate and look forward to. As we said last week, you have a diabetic who's sitting and eating sugar all day. Of course, they're going to continue to land themselves in the hospital. It doesn't help that you keep pricking yourself and testing your blood to see where you're up to. That's not going to help you. Stop eating the sugar, and maybe you'll be in a better place. So writes the Chafetz Chaim, it's nice that we daven and we ask and we petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want this, we want that, we want the other thing, we want a Beis HaMikdash, we want Yerushalayim. Go back to the root of the issue and make a diagnosis for what the problem is. Let's try to figure out, in order to figure out what medication you give the patient, you first have to do a diagnostic test. You have to see what exactly is wrong, what's bothering them. You just flippantly give out medication, that's not going to make the patient better, it will make the patient worse. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Uma, Im haya b'koach ha'avon ha'mar hazeh shal sinas chinam l'hachriv es beis mikdashenu. He says, if the Yerushalmi tells us that what brought about the destruction is sinas chinam, afal pi shahaya etzlam, Torah u'gemilas chasadim, even though at the time they were very God-fearing Jews, they had a tremendous amount of Torah study, they were doing great gemilas chasadim. Think about our community. Think about what's going on in our, I don't mean our community specifically, but our world. There's so much Torah today. There's a chesed organization for everything under the sun, for every niche, for everything a person can ever want or need. There's someone there to help. It's amazing. It's overwhelming. We are so supported here. We're so lucky. We're so spoiled. We have so much. We have options of yeshivas for our children. We have options of where we want to go for colleges. If you want a Jewish university, there's options for that as well. You can go here, you can go in Israel. There's so many things for people to do, so many places for them to grow, so many communities for them to live. We have all of that. Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. Kol Shekein v'Kol Shekein, Sheyesh B'Kocho Ligrom Shelo Yibne B'Yameinu. But unfortunately, he says, so much fragmentation. So much animosity and so much hate, and such a lack of respect, such a lack of acceptance of people who are just a little bit different than we are. Someone who wants to make life choices just a little bit differently than we choose to make them. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, the Torah and the Gemilas Chasadim, of what value is it? Im lo nechazek es atzmeinu b'chol kochenu, lasser me'avon zeh ulahavir es hasina hatmuna bilibenu. So you're not outwardly hateful to other people, but he says it's a sina hatmuna bilibenu. Sometimes we have an uncomfortable hatred in our hearts. We're just uncomfortable with other people. We don't like the way they do things. He says we find this all over the place. And he says if we honestly believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the opportunity to come back, then he says we need to think about the diagnosis of the original problem, in order for that to be a reality. Chafetz Chaim there writes in the very first parak, if you look at number Vav here, V'hinei chutz mizeh shu onesh ruchani ala adam, od mu'usa lavo chas v'shalom ha'idei zeh, la'on shim gedolam ba'olam hazeh. Kedi isa v'shabes, as the Gemara says in Masech HaShabes, v'avon sinas chinam, meriva rabba b'soch beiso shal adam. If you're that kind of person that's just so hateful and so negative, what's your shalom bayis going to look like? How are you going to get along with your spouse? How are you going to get along with your children? If that's the way that you go around treating others, it's the way ultimately you're going to treat your own family members as well. And it's going to cause other problems. Banu b'vinosav, mesen kishem kitanim harei roam, anu kama roos, gorim ha'adam la'atzma ayidei ha'avon ha'mar hazeh. V'hinei, elu yivka echad b'vino ha'katan la'hakoso. Imagine, somebody comes along and abuses your child. Rahmana litzlan. Somebody who comes and harms your child, God forbid, harms them in a way that is irreparable damage, sexually abuses your child. Your child will never recover from that. Halo yiskotet v'yaravimo v'yasenu sinas mavis. Will you ever forgive that abuser? Should you ever forgive that abuser? You've destroyed my child's life. Never. You should rot away for the rest of your life. Never will you be forgiven for what you've done. Ve'eluhu atzmo shegorim lahem sivas mavis enu choshes lezeklal ve'enem esbonen ad hechan avono magia oy lanu ve'oy lenafsho. So he writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at those who abuse his children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at those who cannot accept his children. And he wonders, so where do we go from here? Can I ever forgive people like that? Can I ever overlook at the way they treat my children? You look in look at number ches on the bottom. He nistamish Yisrael ma'amin biyud gimel ikari hadas. Most Jews, he says, believe in the 13 principles of faith. If you believe in the 13 principles of faith, you also believe in the Torah. Now the Torah says in Sefer Devarim, Ki chelek Hashem amo. A portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is His people. That's what it says. Ki chelek Hashem amo. V'hu ahuv lamakom. We also believe in the Nevi'im, which means we believe that when the Navi says, Ahavti eschem amar Hashem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love you, that's true. Ve'od k'siv, and it also says, Me'ahavas Hashem eschem. Ve'od k'siv, and the Torah says, Banam atem l'Hashem alokechem. So if you believe all of that, that we are all the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He loves the Jewish people, and we are the ones who are the chosen people, if you believe all of that, as a good Jew should, because after all these are psukim in Chumash and in Navi, so we're supposed to believe that. Ve'od harbi psukim hamorim gadol avas Hashem yizbaruch la'am Yisrael. Imkein, if that is true, Ech yuchal ha'adam lifol benafsho, lisno es mi shehu ohev la'Hashem. How can you hate someone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves? How can you hate someone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves? Imagine, you have a teacher who just hates your child. It happens sometimes. Your child gets on the teacher's nerves. The teacher outwardly hates your child. It's not right, but it happens. People are human beings. What are you going to do? What is your feeling toward that teacher? How interested are you in going to parent-teacher conferences? And how interested are you in showing appreciation for that teacher? Not only that, how interested are you in destroying that teacher's life and making sure they get fired? Right? Sounds more like it. So writes the Chafetz Chaim, why is it that we have that response? Why do we have that reaction? Because how can you hate someone that I love so much? It just doesn't add up. I love my child unconditionally. How could it be that somebody else hates my child? It doesn't make sense. If you hate my child, then I hate you. Simple. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Hello, bevada yila kadosh baruch hu taruma salav avur zeh ulamashal. Hine beteva kol av leho vez beno ahava aza. Every parent loves their children unconditionally. V'chal amal ha'adam ach letovas benav acharav. And we work throughout our lives to make a good life for our children. Parents sacrifice so much that the children should have opportunities. When I encounter someone that's trying to undermine my children's opportunities, will I not absolutely abhor and hate that person for getting in the way of my child's opportunities to be successful in his or her own life? I will never forgive that person. Kein hadavar b'inyanenu. Kol mi sheyesh lo sina al chavero. Those who feel a sense of hatred toward others. Bevada yesh la HaKadosh Baruch Hu taruma salav. Do you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to feel uncomfortable with you? How could it be? You hate someone that he appreciates so much. Umihu ha'ish ha'sechel v'ha'pesi she'yirtza lases alav tarumas Hashem yizbarach. You know, sometimes you can live with it when somebody doesn't like you. All right, that's the way it is. What are you going to do? You know, it makes us uncomfortable, but sometimes you just resign yourself to the fact that I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I didn't do anything. They don't like me. I rubbed them the wrong way. What am I supposed to do? Right? People in positions of communal leadership sometimes have that. There are people in the community that don't like them, that don't agree with them. That's just the way it's going to be. Sometimes you can live with that. Sometimes you can live with that because you say to yourself, I'm just doing the right thing. It doesn't matter what people say. I'm going to keep doing. And even if people are uncomfortable with me, so be it. What if that person who's uncomfortable with you is HaKadosh Baruch? Writes the Chafetz Chaim. That's something you can live with also? I can live with people in my community maybe not appreciating everything about my personality. That's okay. Are you okay if that entity that doesn't appreciate you is none other than the Ribono Shel Olam? That's a heavy load to be carried, says the Chafetz Chaim. Uma im tarumas basav adam kasha las eis. If we know that someone in our community or in our family has hard feelings toward us, it's hard, it's uncomfortable, we feel strange. We bump into them in the supermarket, we don't know where to go, we turn the other way. When I bought my house, actually I bought it from an Italian Catholic, an amazing person, very nice couple, and they were really excited that a young family was moving in with children, a great family. Anyway, so he said, let me give you some advice. I said, let me hear, I'm looking for it. So he says, I live life this way. You know, supermarket aisles are very narrow, he says. I said, depends where you shop, but yeah. So he says, I said you should come to ours, they're not so narrow. So he says, I never want to be in a position where somebody's coming down the aisle and I'm going to be stuck there and not know how to look them in the face. That's the way you got to live life. I said, what a simple but profound piece of advice. I love that. I say it all the time. It's great. Is there anybody in the world that you feel so uncomfortable facing that if you were stuck in a single file line in the supermarket coming head on to each other, you would have to turn around because you're just so embarrassed or ashamed or uncomfortable being in the presence of this individual? Interesting, right? I like it. Anyway, writes the Chafetz Chaim, Ma'im tarumas basav adam kasha laseis, if it's hard for us to carry that burden of somebody who we feel uncomfortable with and we want to make up with them because it's just so strange and what are we going to do? Mikol shekein, tarumas melech malchei amlechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shema od ma'od mechuyavim lihizar mizeh, writes the Chafetz Chaim, certainly when it comes to the Ribono Shel Olam, how much it should bother us if the Ribono Shel Olam is uncomfortable with us. I once saw, I'm sure many of us have read stories and heard about the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Kloisenberger Rebbe lost his wife and 11 children in the Holocaust. He then picked up, started a whole Hasidus afterward, was going around after the war, burying bodies, revitalizing Jewish communities all over the place, giving chizuk to all the Jews who survived. Amazing stories. There's a biography about him. Really an amazing personality. So he writes something that I've always found to be so powerful, where he says, I didn't put it on here, but he says, I lived through what I lived through, and he says, Ha'emes Agad, I'll tell you the truth. He was very expressive. It's well known that the Kloisenberger Rebbe used to not only be expressive in the way he spoke to people and the way he expressed himself in his speeches and his public talks, but also in the way that he davened. Rav Asher Weiss is a Talmud of the Kloisenberger Rebbe, and he says that his older brother married the Kloisenberger Rebbe's daughter, and he often says how he remembers vividly when the Kloisenberger Rebbe used to daven, and in the middle of davening, he would just scream at HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his own words. It's well known that the first year after the Shoah, when they had a minyan together in the DP camps, Kloisenberger Rebbe was the chazan, and he got up and all of them were about to say, Al chet shechatana lefanecha, with this, with that, with the other thing. And after everyone, he said, no, we didn't. We didn't do this, and we didn't do that, and we didn't hurt you, and we didn't do an avera, and not ashamnu, and not bagadnu. We didn't do anything wrong. So why'd you punish us? He was an amazing personality. And he was very expressive in the way he davened as well. It's actually a tshuva in one of the svarim at the time, where he discusses that there were some survivors who used to, in the middle of Shemona Esrei, they felt it's so interesting how some who survived felt so distant from the Ribono Shel Olam, and some who survived felt so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you can't judge either of them. It's just the experience that each one had. But it's just fascinating to me how it took people in different directions. So the Shaila was raised that there were some who in the middle of davening used to just scream out in the middle, Heilig HaBashefer, and like in the middle, obviously it's not in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So is that a hefsek in the middle of davening? Again, I don't know the halacha, I don't know what the story is. I would venture to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is probably very happy with those people screaming and yelling in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, whatever they're saying, it's all good, it's all wonderful, it's all very special, and it's all very dear to the Ribono Shel Olam's imaginative heart. But be it as it may, the Divrei Chaim writes the following. He says, Ha'emes Agid, Bishnos Ra'inu Rab B'machanos Ha'avoda, when I was in the labor camps, Kesher Ra'inu Es HaChurban HaGadol V'Hanoro Shel Beis Yisrael, when I saw the destruction of the Jewish people, chashavti bedaiti, I said to myself, kishayazer lanar Hashem Yisbaruch latzeis mikan, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take us out of this horrific misery, And he was totally convinced that he would get out of there. Bivadai, of course, he says, Ish esreo yechamku v'yenashku berachovos. We're not going to be able to go anywhere because we're all going to be walking up and down the streets, and every Jew we bump into, we're just going to hug and kiss them. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if I know them or not. Somebody was telling me, actually, I was at a Shiva house the other day in Brooklyn, and somebody was telling me there that their parents grew up in Williamsburg after the war, and every time there was a wedding, the entire community came. Because who ever dreamt that they would make weddings? So these like very fancy Hungarian weddings that I'm sure many of us have seen, you ever wonder why do they make weddings like that? This man told me because all those Hungarians who survived took out mortgages on the house to make a simcha because they said, who ever thought we would have a simcha in our lives again after what we've been through? And it was a reason to take a mortgage out of your house when your child was getting married. Yes. Who ever believed this would happen? And he writes, I thought we were going to come out of the camps. I'll never be able to function again. Why? Because every time I walk down the street, every person I meet, I'm just going to stop and give them such a hug and a kiss. I'm going to be so excited to see another Jew who's alive. Lo alsi bedaiti acheres. Quite honestly, he says, it never dawned on me that there could be a different reality than that. I mean, what else would happen after a war like this? Achein miyad achar hashechur. He says, unfortunately, right after we were liberated, kol Yehudi shera'isi, berachti alav shechiyanu b'shem ha'malchus. Every Jew that I saw after liberation, I made a bracha of Shechiyanu b'shem u'malchus. Now, the halachists are going to get into a whole discussion. It's right, it's wrong, ridiculous. He made a bracha with shem u'malchus because he said, I can't believe that another Jew survived. He said, I was walking around the streets just making a bracha all day long. I couldn't believe it. Merov simcha she'od Yehudi nosa lepleita, from the overwhelming joy that somebody else actually made it out of here. I can't believe it. Manomer manadaber bimrutzas hashanim hashikcha goveres. How unfortunate it is that over years, our ability to forget sets in. Chavasenu la'orer u'lehisorer anachnu she'ra'inu berishas hagayim ha'ela, we who live through all of this, b'chol yom v'yom sarfu shloshim elef anashim mibnei Yisrael, every day they killed at least 30,000 Jews for years at a time. Ha'itachem, is it even conceivable, she'od tehe sina b'libenu neged eza adam Yisrael, lehotzi diba alav o laharalo chas v'shalom, is it possible that I will ever say a negative thing again about another Jew? Is it possible that I'll ever hate another Jew again in my life after what I've seen? Can't be. It just says it was like inconceivable to me. Here I am running around making Shechiyanu every day, every time I see someone new. I'm going to hate someone? It's impossible. I'm going to say something negative against them? I'm going to break away and start a machlokas? How can that be? And the Klerzenberger Rebbe writes, this was his feeling after he was liberated, and he was hoping he'd be able to hold on to it. And I think those are very clear instructions. As the Panavizhi Rav says, you look back at the Nevi'im, when they describe the coming of Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach, when they talk about the Yom HaGadol VaHanora, this overwhelming day that we will experience as a people, the instructions were given then is, V'heshiv Leibavos Al Banim, V'Leibanim Al Avosam, that we have an opportunity to bring that kind of atmosphere into our lives, into our communities, and into our families, where parents and children, where family units, where communities will feel that they are once again united, that they are there for a united purpose, for a united goal. We're here for one mission. We're here to bring together the opportunity for that day that the Navi describes of Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanorah. Mirtz Hashem, next.